Jan Hammer. How are you?
I feel great.
In town, performing at Ratso's?
Yes, a new group, finally.
Is this the same group that's on your album?
No, well, in the album there is no group to really speak of. It's, that's, for most part, it's really a solo effort. The group, in its final form, came together just about after completion of the album, and it includes Steve Kindler on violin, Fernando Saunders on bass, and Tony Smith on drums.
Uh-huh. Steve played with the Mahavishnu Orchestra?
Yes, Steve played with John for last year or so, year and a half.
And where did the other members come from?
All over. The bass player, Fernando Saunders, is from Detroit, and he played with a disco group called Bohannon.
Yeah, heard of that.
And also for a brief period of time in New York, he played with Larry Young. And Tony Smith used to play with Malo. He's from San Francisco. He played with Malo and with Azteca. And general Latin jazz rock bands in San Francisco. And he's just fantastic.
So there's some funky musicians in your band.
Oh yes, this is the band is half black, half white, and the music reflects it. It's just a really nice balance. I really enjoy that.
You do tunes from the album?
From all of the album. Yeah, we do tunes from Like Children. Most of those tunes. We do most of the tunes from the new album, The First 7 Days. We do some songs from an album that I did with John Abercrombie, the ECM Timeless album. And plus there's a whole lot of new music that we're doing, so we have quite an extensive repertoire.
How long have you been here in the States?
In the States?
Since
1968. September.
I think you were working with Jeremy Steig.
I worked with Jeremy a lot, like, you know, isolated here and there, but total, we did quite a lot of performances together. I worked with him both on keyboards and drums. Actually, there was, before this band, my new band, got together, in the 20 months, I did about one or two gigs outside, I mean, actually performing, and they were all on drums. And I was working with Jeremy, actually. I did some concerts with him on drums. And also I worked with Elvin Jones. I just did a new album with Elvin on PM Records. I don't know if you have heard it yet.
Gene Perla's label.
Right, right. See, me and Gene got bought a place upstate New York, and we have a recording studio there. So that's Gene's basing his record company there, and we recorded the album there too. It's a trio album, and I really enjoyed making that album very much. Elvin is like one of my favorite musicians, you know.
So you're keeping pretty busy.
Yeah, I did a lot of recording, but I'm sort of turning back towards live performance, and I intend to do as many as my body can handle. Because my soul can handle, I think, more than my body, but I just love it. I really miss performing, and it feels great to be back playing.
What are your plans?
Well, the plans, usually at this stage of a group, you just get out there and play as much as you can, and play everywhere, everything that comes along, and you sort of wait for people to pick up on you, you know? And so there are no real plans, but as far as we're concerned, you know, there's no limits. We'll go as far as we can take it.
Will you be recording with this band?
Yes, we'll be most likely sometimes in January. We'll do a group album, yeah.
For Nempera?
Yes. Yeah, I'm signed. It's my label.
And are you going to be doing any more solo efforts?
Well, I'm going to concentrate on the group primarily, I think, because I can see, it's all me. I mean, you know, it's gonna come through. Whatever, you know, whatever I do, it's gonna. It has to come through, you know. Otherwise, I wouldn't do it. That's why I put the group together, so I can do the music I want to do. After a certain point of playing with different people, you know, you just accumulate so much of music and whatever goes with it in your head that you just have to find an outlet for it, you know. And the only way to do it in music is really having your own group where things are done, music is done your way.
How long have you been playing the drums?
Many years. Yeah. I remember even like in Czechoslovakia when I was around 12, 13 years old, I would I always preferred playing drums to practicing piano, you know. And it was it always took like a great persuasion on part of my parents to get me back to piano to practice, you know. And I would always, you know, whenever they would leave, I would just set up my drum kit and start playing again. And I don't know, I have as much fun playing drums as I do playing keyboards. It's a whole different facet of music. You get sort of closer to the actual core of what music is made of, you know. Harmony and melody are the outer layers, and I feel rhythm is really like the innermost core of it, and you can really make it happen. If the music is not happening, if you're a drummer, you can do something and make it happen. Now, if you on the outside, you know, if you harmonic or melodic, more or less instrument, it's a little bit more difficult if the drummer is not really up there kicking, you know. That's why I really turned back to drums and started playing so much, because I wasn't turned on by many drummers. But I have a drummer now in Tony. I'm just, I couldn't be happier. We really clicked together.
Do you play any drums in the group?
At this point, all I play is percussion and some timbales. We do some, you know, timbales and drums, percussion features, yes. But eventually I would like to, you know, work two drums, two sets of drums into the act. But that's like, you know, in the future when we have a stage for ourselves. Right now we're going to have to go through the opening stage, you know. Which is okay. I really, actually, I prefer opening. You know, go on first, because people's ears are very fresh and open. You know, they're not. If you follow like a heavy metal act, people tend to be really numb. You know.
Yeah.
They cannot.
So you've been doing concerts as well as clubs.
At this point, we haven't done any concerts yet. We've worked quite a lot of clubs already. We worked in Boston, Philadelphia, New York. We did the Bottom Line in New York. We worked in Cleveland, Dayton. We were at Rat's House this week here, and but finally, the end of this week, we're working two concerts with John McLaughlin's band, my band and John's band, which should be real fun.
Should be a good show.
We're doing a concert in Detroit and a concert in Toledo, Ohio.
Should be a real good show.
Yeah, I can't wait. I can't wait. Sort of a reunion with two different bands, though.
How do you feel about leaving the Mahavishnu Orchestra?
When it happened, at that point, I felt a lot of regret for many reasons, because we musically, I felt we did scratch the surface, and we did influence a lot of people, but as far as the potential of the group, I don't think we've taken it anywhere near it's real. I mean, it's real potential. The combination of those five people could have gone much further than it did. And also economically, you know, it was there was a lot of time and soul invested. Or like in 2.5 years we worked, and I don't think we've reaped the benefits at all. You know, economically, because in the following year after we fell apart, we could have made more money than in like all the 2.5 years put together, you know, because the band was really getting hot. It was like we had tours proposed that would really make us a lot of money, and no matter how which way you look at it, you know, it helps. You know, if you invest so much time into something and you really put your heart into the band, you just want to, you know, see some rewards come out of it and, you know, just to drop it at the most crucial stage, because I thought it was a mistake. But we couldn't have gone on under those conditions. But about a month or 2 months afterwards, after we split apart, I just forgot about it, and I didn't regret it at all, because it was a blessing in disguise in my case, because all the music that was getting stored away inside of me all of a sudden started coming out, you know. And I wrote, within like 2 months or 3 months, I wrote more music than in past 3 years before that, you know. And that to me is the ultimate reward, you know. If I can really get whatever was bottled up, if I can express it and put it out and put it on tape and play it. So ultimately it was really good, you know. And I'm, you know, right now I couldn't be happier, because I have a band and we're playing the music, you know, how I really wanted to do it, you know.
How you hear it.
Yeah, yeah. It's much closer. We really try to include people in our fun.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to the old band, which would come on stage and just totally astound people by, like, volume, speed, dexterity, and just shock treatment, you know.
Yeah.
Now, it's a valid part of stage performance, as long as you have something to balance it, you know, some gentle, tender moments where you really caress the people, you know, and like really make them feel very nice inside, or make them feel and reach deep inside themselves. Because if you just keep shocking them, you know, it wears off. You just cannot reach anywhere deeper. You stay on the shell, because your shell hardens, you know. But there's a way to go back and forth and really develop a certain feeling relationship with the audience. And I feel, judging by the performances that we've been doing, I think we're on the right track, you know. It really feels like the people are moved, and we're touching different strings inside of their hearts, you know. It's really, I'm enjoying myself very much. I think that's the result of it.
Do you consider yourself a jazz musician?
My roots are in jazz. But if I were to put, if I have to put a label on what we're going to do, is it's going to be an unorthodox funk rock. But it's definitely no formula, really. I mean,
there's a lot of that happening these days.
Everybody, yeah, everybody's doing, because I cannot perpetuate what I hear around me. You know, that's usually the formula. Like, people hear 90% of the time on the radio and around them music, and they know that it sells, and they know it's successful. So the natural thing for them to do is to really perpetuate it, you know. And I don't know, it makes me sick. I just could not do it. I would just get out of music if I had to do that. So I'd rather take a chance, you know. And enjoy doing it in the process. There's so much more to be done, you know.
There's a lot of boundaries that are falling.
Mm-hmm.
Where jazz and rock are crossing over.
Yeah, yeah.
I think the synthesizer has a little bit to do with that.
Oh yeah, it's so expressive, you know. And it can be anything, you know. It'll, if you have the ears, see, it's not only knowledge of the instrument, it's also the ears. It's a feedback. It's a full circle where you cannot, for instance, you cannot write down certain settings, you know, for a synthesizer, say, like, you know, you have all the dials and look at them and you write down the settings. You'd be surprised, because next time you come to the instrument under different conditions, with different AC, different current, voltage, right, for different atmospheric conditions, different acoustics in the room, different placement of the instruments and the speakers, you come out with a radically different sound, and you gotta go through the whole process again, because the same settings won't get the same sound, you know. And in order to really express and project with synthesizer, you gotta go through a continuous trial and error, you know.
How long have you been working with synthesizers?
I think about 4 years, 4 or 5 years, something like that.
Around the time that you began with the Mount Vision Orchestra, or just before?
Yeah. No, I started shortly after the beginning of the Mount Vision Orchestra. I started out with just the electric piano. But I really felt limited, you know. Especially in a loud band with an electric piano. There is so little you can do. Piano can be extremely expressive instrument. If it's acoustic piano and by itself, or with some compatible instruments. Once you start, you know, once you have drums playing at a certain volume, you might as well forget about playing acoustic piano. The expressivity is gone. You move to electric piano and then your volume goes up, you know, it's a chain reaction. Like with our band, it just got so loud. And there is nothing, I found that I could do nothing on electric piano. And synthesizers saved my life, really. You know, it really turned me around.
How's the volume level of this band here now?
Oh, I find it's a few notches below the Malmsteen Orchestra, which it was always over a little bit for me and for most of the people I found. And also, since it's four-piece, and we have no... I find there's never an odd man cluttering up the sound. It's a very clear sound, which was my, you know, that's the reason I wanted to have this group just four-piece. So you have a very clear sound. There's no muddle, you know, because you can play the most incredible music. You know, you'll be up there and playing some unbelievable stuff, inspired, technically just impeccable. By the time it gets from your fingers through the instrument, through the speakers, through the PA, and reaches the audience, if it's just like a pile of mud, what's the point of all that? Because they're not going to get what you're doing anyway, you know? You're doing some incredible stuff and it gets all lost in the machinery. And it happens to like 90% of the... whatever you call it, jazz rock people, or even in rock, I mean, there's some very inspired musicians, but you can really lose all that. And people, you know, they'll still be sort of impressed by the image if you have, you know, if you're a big name. So it won't really turn them off in anything, but it just, it won't be as efficient, you know. You can really bring much more to them if you sort of control it and clean up the sound, you know. And I find with our group, we can really keep the sound quite clear. Even though we get loud, you know. It's never as loud as the old band was. But the important thing is, it's clear. And there's no, never any question about people's roles. You know, the roles are very clear cut. You know, everybody knows what they're supposed to do to complete the picture.
What do you think of some of the synthesizer-based bands that are coming out?
I haven't listened too much. Every once in a while I hear it on the radio and I sort of find it, for most part, boring, because it ain't got that swing. Whatever swing is now, you know, funk, swing, rhythmic. It doesn't have the forward motion and rhythmical tension that I need. From once in a while, I don't mean all the time, but I need it every once in a while to happen for me to sort of keep interest in music. Or I need some really inspired melody or statement, and if I don't get it, you know, in a certain...